Episode 51. High charge people are exactly the type of folks that I like to speak to for inspiration on how to manage chaos successfully. And my guests on this week's show will not disappoint. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. In this episode of Leading Chaos, I am thrilled to have Brendan Hufford as my guest. Brendan is on the list of what I consider people who are multitaskers extraordinaire. He founded OK Kimonos and studies Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He works also at the Thea Bowen Leadership Academy and is host of Entrepreneur and Coffee, a bi-weekly podcast. Brendan, thank you for joining me on the Leading Chaos Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's definitely an honor to be able to chat with you.
Right on. So I'd like to talk to you, you know, somebody who's like really busy doing everything you do. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
This morning for breakfast, I had a lot of coffee and a tortilla with crunchy peanut butter on it. What? Awesome. That's such a great question because it's so ridiculous. Like, what was I eating?
Well,
for sure that's what I ate, though.
That kind of informs us of where we start our day. And I know mornings are pretty important. And a lot, what's a lot of coffee?
So I probably brew like a, I don't know, it says 10 cups. I don't know if it's actually 10 cups, but it's up to the 10 on the pot. And that's usually what I drink throughout the morning.
Wow. Wow. Well,
I think it's just because I'm wired that way. It's not because I need it to wake up or I'm not trying to like, I feel like a lot of people use coffee as a crutch because they're like, oh, another day of the grind. Let me go get my coffee so I can deal with life. Like I just very much enjoy coffee. And when I do things, I tend to just go big.
Great. Great. Do you have any recommendations for a good cup of Joe?
So right now, and I know it sounds so silly, but probably my favorite coffee is, I don't know if you guys have Aldi where you live, but there's a store called Aldi by my house. We have them all over here. Mm-hmm. And, I know it sounds silly, but they have like, they're known as like kind of a bargain, like cheap place to shop, which is why I shop there. And their coffee is on par. Like it's pretty good. If you put it side by side with like some pricier stuff, then I think it stands up. So I've just been enjoying that lately.
Well, that's
just
a good tip.
Keeping it nice and simple. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next time I stop in my local Aldi, maybe I'll check that out. So you start the morning with a whole bunch
you
of coffee.
You definitely should.
I will. You start the morning with a whole bunch of coffee and a tortilla and you're ready to go. And you wear many hats. How does that work for you? Because, you know, this podcast is a bit, well, it is on leading chaos and tips for doing that. And as a fellow podcaster, I know just getting one show out a week is a big chore. Getting two out a week would just be a little over the top right now. So what tips might you have that you use for getting yourself focused?
So I think a couple of things. Like, so I eat some foolishness for breakfast sometime, but one of the big things that's helped me out in the last year or so is doing the work that matters right at the beginning of the day. Mm-hmm. Not diving into email, not getting sucked into Facebook or whatever else, but just doing the work that matters. And before I do the work that matters, when I get up, I have a very specific morning routine. I wash my face and I brush my teeth because that wakes me up better than coffee. Mm-hmm. And then I go and I brew, I start the coffee brewing. I go and sit down and I have a thing called the 5-minute journal, which every single day I write and it takes like literally 5 minutes, but that's what the product's called. and I write down three things I'm grateful for, three things I want to accomplish today, and then an affirmation. Then I go grab the coffee that's done brewing, and I sit down and I pray, and I do a meditation for like 10 minutes. I use an app called Headspace to meditate, do a little bit of exercise. And then that's kind of my morning routine, which is based on a book called The Miracle Morning by a guy named Hal Elrod. And that really sets my day up for success. And that's what I do in the morning. And then I just start doing big things. I try and tackle like at least one major task per day. The little work, the unattractive work has to be done, but I want to get at least one big task done every day.
Well, those are great tips there. And that amount of time that you do all that, because it's a nice goal to sit down, do three, you know, goals that you want to do, an affirmation and the meditation. What kind of span of time is that? And are you waking up at 4 a.m?
I get up at 3, but that's only because that's my time. Well, see, here's the thing. It's unfair for me to say like I have entrepreneurial DNA, because that doesn't help anybody. And I do. I sincerely feel that, you know, we're a mix of nature and nurture. So many studies, psychological, sociological studies have shown that we are a mix of our DNA, but also how we're nurtured throughout our life. And I just feel very strongly that my DNA side happens to be very entrepreneurial. But since that doesn't help anybody, I get up at 3 a.m. because I'm wired for it. And also my family is super important to me. And if I can get my work done in the morning, then I can have that time with my family. I'm also not going to bed at 10 or 11 at night on normal nights. Sometimes I'll be up a little later, and that's all right. I'll lose a little sleep that night. But most nights I'm getting like 6 or 7 hours of sleep every single night.
Wow.
So I compensate to be able to get up that early.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic to get up so early and get right to it. So if you were advising other folks, and I know that's what you do, if you can't get up at 3 a.m. because that's not everybody's cup of tea, what would you recommend for like a span of time to just set aside, like 10 minutes in the morning? Or is there, for, you know, folks, our lives are pretty chaotic. So if there was just to kind of chop that down to help folks get focused, do one affirmation, do one goal, you know, one thing they want to get accomplished, kind of breaking it down. Is that how you would advise somebody who can't do that same routine?
So that whole routine, beginning to end, can take anywhere from 6 minutes to 60 minutes. You know, there's kind of 6 different components of it, and I could spend 10 minutes on each. 10 minutes of affirmations, 10 minutes of visualizations, 10 minutes of meditation, 10 minutes of exercise. I could do that all, or I could just do a minute of each. And I know it sounds silly, but you get still a very, very strong effect. My routine takes about a half an hour, but that's just because I feel very strongly, and I've proven it in my own life, that that is a kind of force accelerator for whatever else I'm doing. So that minimal half an hour investment at the beginning of the day pays multiple dividends throughout the day. So I would rather spend more time on that. If I felt like I could, I would spend an hour on it, because I know I'm going to be that much more productive, that much more successful throughout the rest of my day, because I focus so much on that in the morning. So if people think they don't have time, I would just highly recommend they do a time audit. I think it's a great, somebody said the other day that like, oh, I don't have time to do that. And I was like, oh, cool. What did you think of the end of Walking Dead the other night? And they're like, oh, it was crazy, and I can't believe they did that. And I'm like, that's cool. I haven't seen Walking Dead in about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I don't even know when the last time I saw it was, because I don't watch TV. Like, if you say you don't have time, you do. You just need to do a time audit. They found that the best way to get people to stick to a diet is have everything they eat, because then it becomes real. And if you're going to have to write it down, it's like, ugh, I don't want to waste that. So if you have to write down all the time wasters that you do throughout your day, all of a sudden you'll realize you have a lot more time than you thought.
Yeah, that's a really great idea, to do a time audit, which is essentially, if you're going to do a food audit, is writing down everything you eat. And a time audit is going down and saying what time I wake up to what time I go to bed and everything you do in between. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just spent 27 minutes on Instagram. Write that crap down, because I mean, you wouldn't even think about it, but that happens. People waste a tremendous amount of time. And here's the thing, like, you look at how can one person be so much more successful than somebody else. And obviously success is totally arbitrary and it's our own definition, and I totally respect that, but how can one person be so much happier and feel they're successful in their own life and one person doesn't? We all have the same 24 hours. Nobody's time traveling that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. And if somebody is, please tweet me at Brendan Hufford and tell me how to do that. So since we all have the same 24 hours, like, I just don't understand how somebody could do so much more with their 24 hours than somebody else. And I think the key is just what we do in those 24 hours.
True. But there is that piece of a little bit of laziness that comes in. You know, we get that sense of complacency, and we could get a little addicted to that. And that creates a little bit of lethargicness in us. And then there's those of us who are very organized, and you sound like a pretty organized guy. And would that be a correct descriptive of you, or?
Yeah. No, yes, it would appear that way. But no, that's not my nature at all. By nature, I am a hot mess and very disorganized. I have to fight against my nature to remain organized and continue to do things that need to be done. Otherwise, I would just be all over the place. I'm like a balloon filled with helium just bouncing around. And if it wasn't for people in my life, like my wife, who actually like grab hold of the string attached to the balloon and yank me back down to earth every once in a while, I'd probably just float away.
Well, that's a nice person to have around. You know, we'd kind of call that like a little contact high, having somebody who's really always really energized. But the down days, because, you know, part of chaos is that we're able to organize it. It sounds like you're really able to do that and having some great ideas. But there's also like these down days. And I mentioned the OK kimonos and the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And is that part of your practice in the morning when you say that you're stretching or working out?
Sure. So in the morning, what I'll do is I'll do my morning routine, and that's just brief exercise. That's just a couple push-ups, sit-ups, mm-hmm. you know, something quiet that I can do in the living room so I don't wake up my wife and son. And then I'll do more strenuous exercise later in the day, whether that is actually going to train Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which includes like sparring and drilling and all of those, you know, technique stuff. Or I'll just do a strength and conditioning workout, which is a combination of sprints and weightlifting and calisthenics and mobility work to make sure I'm keeping my body in the full range of motion that it's supposed to be operating. And that also happens later in the day. Mm-hmm. Well, by later, I mean, like, I'll do my morning routine, I'll work for a little bit, and then I go to the gym around like 4 or 5 a.m.,
Hmm. Wonderful. Now, in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and for listeners who don't know what that is, maybe you'd be much better at describing it than myself, but my short descriptor would be, it is where you would get the opponent, and the goal is to get the opponent on the ground and then do different types of different pins, mm-hmm. To subdue that your sparring partner, and if it would be your actual opponent. That would be my shortened description of it. Is that correct? Or
yeah, so it's a, you know, a uniform based grappling. Like if they're familiar with judo, it's very, very similar. But whereas judo takes place primarily on the feet and a little bit on the ground, jiu-jitsu is a little bit on the feet and mostly focused on the ground. Mm-hmm. The family, the Gracie family, was some of the pioneers that brought it to Brazil. And they were trained by judo practitioners, but a couple of them were really small. They weren't strong enough to, you know, really be competitive in judo. So they refined an area that they could be better at, which was the ground techniques. Mm-hmm. So that's where a lot of jiu-jitsu comes from, but it is a grappling based martial art where you use, kind of joint locks and chokes to get your opponent to tap out without mm-hmm. injury to you or them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I practice Aikido, which is a Japanese martial art. And in Aikido, we do a lot of falling. And I always use that as a metaphor for my life and my work, in that it's really great to know how to fall and then get up standing, smiling again. And so I was wondering, with your practice in jujitsu, do you have anything that informs you there in terms of being on the ground and getting up again in your work as an entrepreneur?
Sure. So I think one of the biggest things that I've learned from Brazilian jiu-jitsu, like, these guys are my friends. These guys are some of my best friends in my life. They're the type of friends, and this is the analogy that I use, if there was ever something bad about to go down at my house, like if somebody showed up and I thought they were going to rob me or something, I could call this group of dudes, and they would show up at my house and help me protect my family. And that means a lot. That's loyalty that you can't buy. And the reason that I have that type of bond with these guys is because we are constantly trying to break each other, not hurt each other, but to mentally break each other. I'm either going to beat you by technique or by speed or athleticism. I'm going to make you so exhausted that you want to quit, but I'm not going to let you. I'm going to, you know, trick you into mentally breaking and falling into a position that you don't want to be in. And I think when you get pushed mentally to that breaking point again and again and again, you get very comfortable there. And it's kind of like a muscle. The more we use it, the more we develop that grit and that determination. And over time, you develop such a capacity for grit and determination that you're unfazed by things that would just shatter somebody else's reality. So that's really, really been a large asset moving forward. And I've also found that, especially with men, where you deal with a lot of ego, that guys who do jiu-jitsu tend to have the healthiest ego of any guys that I know or that I talk to.
Mm-hmm. Are there many women in the dojo practicing?
I think, well, obviously less than men, but I would say about a third, at least our gym, are women. Our instructor's wife's been training for a long time, and she does a lot of stuff with the women's class, but we all train together. Whether you're a man or a woman, one of the things I like about jiu-jitsu is it's very much about leverage and technique. And that'll, you know, when I came in, I'm 6'1" and about 210 pounds, and I'm a strong dude. And when I came in, I was getting ragdolled by 13-year-old girls and 75-year-old guys. And the age and the weight and the gender make absolutely no difference in jiu-jitsu. It's one of the reasons that I love it.
Mm-hmm. It's getting a lot of airplay right now because Anthony Bourdain, who you might know, he has a TV show, if you do watch it, No Reservation, and his wife's, they have gone down to Brazil and have studied, and I guess she got him into it. So it's nice to see it's getting a bit more visibility in that way, because I think Aikido and Jiu-Jitsu both have that roots in a little bit of that judo piece there. And certainly, you know, we wear similar gis. Of course, we wear a hakama too on top of the gi. Nothing like layering the uniforms on a good hot workout, but there you have it.
Yep.
You know, to me, when I hear you talking about that, and I have a feeling that it probably really informs you as a person quite a bit, because that discipline of training in a martial art and just really sticking into that practice, that's what I consider creating your own protocol that you could always rely on. And so it becomes just your instinct. You don't even think about it, on how you move and how you respond to a situation. Instead of reacting, you act in response. And that, I wonder if that's true for you. I don't want to just assume that, but I imagine as a martial artist that helps you not only in your day-to-day interactions, but certainly in your business interactions too.
You know, I would totally, totally agree. One of the big things that I've learned from jiu-jitsu is kind of this state of no mind, where your body completely takes over and your actions become it's just pure muscle reaction, where you don't have to think, because when you think, you use muscle. And when you use your muscle, you end up getting tired. But when you're just reacting and you're kind of in there's a very large concept in jiu-jitsu of flow. And when you're in this flow with your opponent, and you're moving kind of seamlessly and transitioning position to position to position, I think it's a really, really cool thing, but it also really informs kind of the rest of my business and the rest of my life, because when I'm able to transition from one thing to the next and to the next and the next over time, it leads to a lot less chaos. I feel like a lot of the chaos happens in my life when there's a pause or a disruption, and then I have to stop and refocus and get back into the, you hear about this a lot with writers, you know, mm-hmm. they get into a flow of writing a solid, maybe after they've been writing for 45 minutes. And if they're shook out of that, then it might take them 45 minutes to get back into what they're doing. So developing this state of no mind, this automatic flow, where you're just kind of on, I guess, muscle memory, or in some cases, like kind of skill memory, if it's writing or whatever, you're coding, things like that. It's really, really helpful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of your work and doing all these things, you know, you're doing that practice, you're as a, working as an entrepreneur, maintaining the schedule of the podcast, that's a lot of stuff going on there. And I don't know what you wanted to be when you were a kid growing up, but if you could go back in time and offer some advice to your younger self, what might that be?
So I think this, like I said, this is very much my nature, but when I was younger, I was really nurtured out of it, and not on purpose. I was never like told you can't do that type of stuff. But when I look back into my story, I see that, you know, I'm the kid that's borrowing CDs for free from the library, and because I have a CD burner, I'm burning them and selling them to my friends. I'm the kid that's trying to get rent out other kids' time to play video games during school, so I can win a business competition in fourth grade. Like, this has always kind of been a part of my story. And if I was younger, I think I would tell myself, like, look, dude, I know what's in your nature. I think you need to get started now. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until you're in your mid-20s and super unhappy and really a mess in your life to figure this out. Like, you know it's in there. Start now, and you'll be way happier in the long run. Mm. But the other thing is, too, that when you have a, you live with a real sense of gratitude, like, I'm so grateful. I feel like God has allowed me to be a steward for so many things, like all of this stuff that I have, all of these things, these relationships, these people in my life. I don't really deserve any of this. And if those mistakes got me here, then it's hard for me to say, like, I would really change any of that. Like, if those mistakes are necessary for me to be where I am right now, then I would probably take all of them.
May I ask, so is that saying that in your 20s that you had a low point?
Oh, for sure. I developed, and I'm real honest about this, because I sincerely believe that there are people who are listening, who are probably dealing with something really similar, that I developed like a very unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And it got to the point in my life where I just decided, like, I can't drink anymore. Like, this is just not healthy for me to continue doing this. I'm just not going to do it. And one day I just stopped drinking, and I haven't drank since then. And that's kind of how I am. Obviously, you can tell I'm very like all in or all out, but that was a very, very low time, because not only was I frustrated in my life, but we had just, my wife and I had just had our son, who's this tremendous blessing. But now I hate my job. I feel trapped at work. And now I don't have time to work on my side business because I have my son. So I'm feeling even more trapped. So I'm feeling worse. And then I'm feeling bad that I feel bad about my son. Like, mm-hmm. how could you be so ungrateful for this amazing blessing? So it's just layering and layering and layering and getting worse and worse. And it got to the point where I'm like, I can't keep using this to cope. I need to actually deal with what's going on, which is, you know, what you hear me articulating now is kind of that sense of what was going on back then.
Mm-hmm. And it does seem at a moment that you had that I don't know if it was an epiphany, but there was something that really engaged you to say, okay, this is in my DNA and let me go for it. Do you remember that moment?
I think it was a series of moments over time. I really started following a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, and seeing what he was doing online and building businesses and stuff. And he talked a lot about entrepreneurial DNA and about his story throughout his life, how it had always been a part of it. And it caused me to, I'm a very introspective person by nature, but it caused me to really do an audit of my life. And do I have this kind of DNA? And I kind of decided that I did. And I think when you realize something like that and you start to run with it, it's tremendously empowering. Mm-hmm. It's like, you start telling yourself every single day, I'm wired to get up early. I'm wired to build this business. I'm wired to be successful. And when you really feel, because I do genuinely feel that it's only a matter of time before I reach a goal, any goal that I set, that I'll reach it in time, I feel like I can kind of do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, there's a lot there. Brendan, if folks were wanting to get a hold of you, and I know you have a big online presence, what would be some of the links that they'd be looking for?
So a couple of things. The first place you can find me is on Twitter. I'm just at Brendan Hufford. If you really want a behind the scenes look at stuff, check me out on Instagram, where I'm at the Brendan Hufford, because some other jerk Brendan Hufford stole the regular one. So it's just at the Brendan Hufford. Mm-hmm. And then everything else, my podcast, links to my jujitsu company, links to an online community that I'm kind of putting, it's free, that I'm kind of putting together where I can start helping people and mentoring people, are on my website. And also kind of some stuff that I talked about tonight, but just like there's a ton of resources there. And if anybody that's listening right now wants to check it out, I made a special page just for them. They can go to brendanhufford.com/chaos, and it'll take them, anybody who's listening to this podcast can go there. There's a bunch of free resources for them to download too.
Wonderful. We'll make sure to have that in the show notes, the links to Brendan's sites on the leadingchaospodcast.com website. Brendan, I really want to thank you for providing a glimpse into your life and your experiences and, you know, some of the things that I just want to just make a little synopsis here is that you can take time in the morning to collect your thoughts, and whether it's, as Brendan's doing, really taking, like, you know, three goals and taking the time to meditate and to work through what you want to do with your day is time well spent, but also identifying and believing in yourself and acknowledging this is what I'm good at. And sometimes people don't really do that, and we are always turning over and over again, and we don't say, you know what, I'm good at this, and gosh darn, I'm gonna go for it. And it sounds like you did, and it took a lot of courage. So my hat's off to you. And I really want to thank you so much for being on this episode of the Leading Chaos Podcast.
Thanks a lot. It was an honor. I appreciate it.
Please take time today to leave a review and rating on iTunes. And there'll be a link in the show notes where you could do that. You just go to Leading Chaos Podcast on iTunes. It's not a big deal. I know you leaders of chaos know how to Google that. And it would be really helpful for the show. We haven't had a review in a while. And I think we're kind of due for it, don't you? Well, we've been doing this for almost a year, and I'm hoping that this podcast is really bringing things forward for you. And speaking of a year, the 1 year anniversary for this podcast is September 11th, and we will be doing a tribute show for that event. And meanwhile, if you'd like to make your own dedication in the name of someone in a memory, please do. Just go to speakpipe.com/leadingchaos, or you could just go to our website for that little tab, and you'll be able to leave a voice message. How cool is that? You could just read a person's name or tell us a little bit of your story in tribute to the events of September 11th, 2001. Meanwhile, this is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Be kind, be safe, and take time today to write down, as Brendan said, three things that you are grateful for. I'm certainly grateful that you listened. Ciao for now.